The Bible is still God's Word. It speaks to every area of our life. It speaks to the nations of the world. Tony Broom Ministries presents the following Bible teaching session. The title is, The Bible Speaks to Society. I just want to welcome everybody and a chance to, if you have your Bible close by, we'll be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 3. So some scriptures in those three chapters this time. We just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you that we can have the opportunity to look at your word. I pray you'd bless this word to our hearts as you speak to our nation and the world. Help us to know that you have a message for us today. I pray that you'd bless everything that's said and done. May you receive glory. May we speak the words that would bless your people. May we not say anything that would bring disgrace and dishonor to your holy and righteous name. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible speaks to society. The scripture reveals God's message to society. When God's word is a big Bible, we have a large word from God. If he could have spoken one thing, that would be more than we would ever deserve. But God desires to talk to us. He desires to speak to us through his word and with his word. Our golden text is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So if you do what God says, even this verse has at least three things that will happen to you. It will be well with you. Now, who in their right mind would not want it to be well with them? If you do what God says, it will be well with you. And you will prolong your days in the land that you possess. If you keep the ways of the Lord, the way that God commanded you, you will live. That's, I mean, right off the bat, you will live. Everybody needs to live. You want to live, and it'll be well with you, and then you will prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. The Bible presents God's commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses gives the children of Israel God's commandments, and he tells them that this is the word of the Lord. You have heard God speak to you out of the mountain. You've heard the voice of God. And he reminds them of what God told them. And he tells them again the Ten Commandments recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and also here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we kick off with verse 7 and 8. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. This is the first commandment. There will be no other gods before him. Now, some people take that to say that you'll have no other gods more important than him. It's all right to have these other gods as long as they're not more important than him. But that could not be even a possible interpretation. Because God said, you will have no other gods other than me before me. None other gods before me. It is impossible to have another god. Either God is your God, or you really don't have a God. And those who do not worship and serve God usually end up with a whole bunch of other so-called gods. There are religions and there are people who have millions of gods. And it's a sad thing because all these gods, which one do you give allegiance to? Which one do you give homage? Which one do you give worship to? You will have no other gods before me. This is the first commandment. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. This covers everything. You will not make any graven image to you. Now, in our nation right now, we're facing a situation where we're talking about monuments and statues, and we're talking about images. And I realize that historically, we have a lot of monuments that are put up. We have things that have different people's picture on them. And we talk about George, different Georges. And every time you look in your billfold, you look at George. There's George. If you want to honor George, that's a good George to honor. He's a father of our country. There's all kind of people that we can honor. And there's all kind of statues and pictures and images of different people, and they represent people in our history. But God said, if you really want to get technical, if you want to get spiritual about the thing, God says, don't make any graven image. You'd be better off, just don't make any graven image. And you say, well, that's just talking about images to worship. There again, when we start putting our little two cents and interpreting and curving God's word according to what we like or according to what is in our nation, then we are in trouble. First of all, God gave this to Israel, and he gave it to the world through Israel. And so we don't have a right to change God's word. God said, don't make any graven image. Anything that's in heaven above, that's an angel. All these angels that are made, the so-called angels, they look what we think are angels. They have wings and all that. Don't make anything like on earth. That's people. Don't make anything in the waters under the earth. That's fish and demons and everything. Don't make anything. Don't make any graven image. Verse 12, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. This is a serious thing, because if you take the name of the Lord in vain, and this is more than what we know, that one particular thing of taking God's name in vain, putting God's name ahead of a curse word or slang word, that is taking his name in vain. We know what that is. And there are other ways that you can take the name of the Lord in vain. There is a news reporter that has said, welcome to the second half of this God-awful year. And I'm thinking, why don't you say, welcome to the second half of this devil-awful year? Why do they put God into the thing that makes it bad? Anything that you want to put bad or blame bad on, you want to blame God. So why do you want to put God in front of something that you want to put blame of something bad? Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. And that's taking his name in vain is getting certainly close to blasphemy. A lot of these people don't even realize that they're taking the name of the Lord in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And we don't go by the Jewish Sabbath. Some people do, but we go by Sunday as the Lord's day. And the idea is to have one day out of seven that you set aside that is your day of rest. And I know that when we're facing pandemic, we're facing times that you can't work, you face time off that you have to be off for your sickness, retirement, whatever it is, you might say, well, every day is like a day of rest. But really, it's not. God still wants us to take one day out of seven to come aside and to rest. Church people, and this is time when we can talk about this, because we're not able to have the meetings and all this hustle bustle stuff that's going on. But Sunday is the Lord's day. Every day is God's day, but Sunday is the Lord's day. And it ends up being one of the busiest days, because you have to do all this church work. And we have to be careful to realize that if we're going to have a Sabbath day, even though we don't call it that, God still expects us to utilize that principle, to come aside and rest. We used to have the blue laws where businesses were closed, and God says, all right, you don't go by that, that's fine, I'll close the businesses down. And God didn't do it, but he uses this. He allowed it to be done the same way he did Israel. Did God mean to punish Israel? Did he mean bad things for Israel? No, he didn't. But he used Israel. They sinned against God, and he used it. He said, all right, you will not get right with me. I'll take you into captivity, and the land will enjoy her Sabbaths. You didn't take Sabbath. You didn't observe Sabbath while you were on the land, so I will let the land enjoy her Sabbath. And God did that. So the Sabbath day was important. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And Paul said, this is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is a promise. If you honor your parents and do what's right, you will be blessed. And that's what the promise is. The Old Testament said you will live long on the earth. Paul quoted it again in Ephesians chapter 6. And it means the same thing. You'll be blessed. You're blessed when you honor your father and your mother. And all of us can bear witness to the fact that we have been sometimes where we have not honored our parents like we should, and we suffered consequences because of it. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, and it means thou shalt not murder. God has capital punishment to deter crime, and if they would use it, it would put down crime. It would put an end, or at least greatly curtail, a lot of this evil that's going on. But as far as to premeditatively kill someone, it's not right, and we should not do it. The society should not do it. A Christian will not do it, but society will not do it. They should not do it, and so much of it is going on in our nation. Our world is suffering because of it. Neither shalt thou commit adultery, and this is prevalent in our nation, in our world today. We don't have to talk about it. It's going on, and it has caused problems in homes. It's caused a breakdown of society, and the Bible speaks to society. Neither shalt thou steal. All right, looting, killing, stealing, breaking into things, taking things that don't belong to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, one of those who absolutely, the apostle says, will not go to heaven is those who are thieves, those who take things that do not belong to them. If you're involved in that, you practice that, you cannot go to heaven unless you get right with God. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Do not bring up a slander or a lie upon another person. There's so much of that going on, digging up dirt against dirt and bringing up all these evil reports. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Coveting is the big killer of it all, and it results in a whole lot of trouble, and really all the other commandments could be put there. Coveting. It's what happened to King David. He coveted something, desired something that, and someone that didn't belong to him, and he ended up breaking basically all the other commandments. In verse 32 and 33 of that chapter, is not in the printed text, but it says, "Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." That is, we don't have the right to change God's word to fit our culture and to what we like. We should adjust our culture and our life according to God's word. If we could just change it according to what we like, we wouldn't even need a word of God. And that's what people are doing now. You don't need law. There is no law. You don't have to have a law. You can just do what you want to do. And that's what they're doing. To take away from the police, take away from the military, take away from government. And government can be oppressing and oppressive, but it's not made for that purpose. Government is made for the purpose of keeping law in order, keeping people safe, and that's what it should be. And that's what it is in the eyes of God. That's what God made. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, that ye may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. The Bible gives God's commandments. It presents them to us, and we have God's word. Now, we're not under law. That is, those who belong to Christ are no longer under law. We have the law of God written in our hearts. We want to do right, and we will do what's right. And if we don't do what's right, we'll be quick to get it right with God and to repent and come to God and make it right. The Bible warns of sin's consequences. In Romans chapter 1, you can read a lot of scripture there about sin and the consequences of sin. Because that when they knew God, verse 21, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It is a bad thing to know God, and yet glorify him not as God, and you become unthankful. You can actually get to a point where you're not even thankful anymore, and your foolish heart can be darkened. That is a bad thing to be in, a spiraling downwardness that's happening in our nation and world today. By the way, the Bible speaks to society. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So instead of looking up and becoming more like God, you begin to worship, and it goes down, down, down. Birds, beasts, creeping things, and it ends up being like a snake sliding on his belly on the earth. And your worship or your adoration or whatever it is, what you like, ends up going lower and lower, and you end up being in a debased state that nobody wants to be. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they didn't keep God's word like it was. They changed it into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You cannot change God's word to your own liking. If you do, you have made it as Jesus told the Pharisees, Mark chapter 7, you've made it of none effect. God's word is still God's word. It will always be settled in heaven. But as far as you're concerned, you've made it of no effect. For this cause God gave them up. And you find that several times in the scripture. God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and that means you wouldn't believe it if I told you, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, they got what was coming to them, in other words. Now, we have teachers in here today. We have elders. We have preachers. We have Christians, of course, and people who can bear me witness that you start talking about these things in the congregation, and people will start clearing their throat. They start coughing nervously. You can tell the difference between a nervous cough and a cough that you can't help. And maybe you can't help the other. I don't know. But anyway, they just become uncomfortable. Well, this is God's word. And God's word speaks to our nation. Do you know the ones who should be uncomfortable with it? Is the ones who are involved in it. That's the ones who should be uncomfortable with it. This should not make a Christian uncomfortable at all, except when you get righteously indignant and angry because of the things that are going on in our world. That's the uncomfortableness that we should feel. But we should not be embarrassed. We should not be ashamed of God's word. Well, we don't want to preach about that. We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Well, it's God's word. God's word talks about the lesbianism and the L. They got the L as the first part of it. Lesbianism, homosexuality, abortion, all the things that God is so angry with in our society. And we're reaping the consequences right now. We're reaping the consequences of sin in America and the nations of the world. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. All right, if that's the way you want to have it, God says, you can do it. But you're going to suffer the consequences, and you're going to pay the price of that and for that. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind says you're so callous and hard, you don't know if you're saved, you don't know if you're lost, you don't know which way you're going. And there's a danger in our society today of becoming that, and the gospel needs to reach people where they can get right with God. Being filled with all, and he gives a whole list of things here, some 23 things that will happen as a result of all this sin: unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, which is all types of badness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. You know what malignity is? That's that cancerous tumor nobody wants. And that's the way that God describes the condition of our society today. Whisperers. Come here and let me tell you something. I haven't told anybody else. Yeah, you cotton chopping liar yourself, you have. Tell everybody you can get a hold to. Whisperers. Backbiters. It's hard to bite a back, but that's what they described as backbiters. haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, proud about the evil and all the things that they're doing, laying out on the street, causing trouble, drinking beer, getting drunk, shooting off things, blowing everything up, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. There that is again, the New Testament, honor the father and the mother, disobedient to parents, don't even know who the parents are, and they perhaps can't help that, but it's the degradation and the depravity of the society in which we're living in. Without understanding, they don't even know what they're doing. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. They love who they shouldn't love. I know we should love everybody, but not in that way. The men with the men, the women with the women, and they love animals above people. You have bestiality going on in our world today, and it's an abomination in the sight of God. Implacable, that means relentless. You cannot reason with the anger and hostility of these kind of people. Unmerciful, they have no mercy. Who, knowing the judgment of God, the day which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The Bible warns about the consequences of sin. And thank God for this last part. The Bible talks about and reveals a forgiving God. God is a forgiving God. He is a merciful God. We were alienated from the covenants of promise, and we were without God, without hope in the world. And here God comes looking for us. He comes searching for us, coming to seek and to save that which was lost. God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. When the Bible said the law and the prophets, it's talking about the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. The Old Testament gives witness to the righteousness of God. Even without the law, we tried to keep the law. The Jews did. Israel did. They tried to keep the law. The apostles tried to keep the law. The disciples tried to keep it. Many people try to keep it now, and we cannot do it in ourselves. But the good thing is, brothers and sisters, we can do it when Jesus comes into your heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You can keep the law, and you will. You don't think you're doing it. You're not trying to go by the list, but you will keep it. It is a normal thing for a believer to do what's right and keep the law. And even without the law, the righteousness of God, the Bible, the prophets, the law gives witness to the righteousness of God. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. It is belief and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the righteousness of God is all about. I like my Romans 10:4 verse. The end of the law is Jesus Christ. He is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe. And when you believe in Christ, the righteousness of God is passed on to you and stamped to your account. For there is no difference. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're no difference. Black, white, red, yellow, brown, doesn't matter. Man or woman, it doesn't matter. And there's no difference also because all have sinned, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then that means that all can believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Whosoever will can come and take the water of life freely. It's a wonderful thing to know that God doesn't hold it against you because you're poor, because you're rich, because you're white, because you're black, because of anything of that descriptive nature. He takes all that descriptive thing out of the way. The stereotypes are taken out of the way, and he nails it to the cross. And now we can come to him by faith in Christ alone, being justified just as you never sinned. Freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a mercy seat through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God has put up with a lot, and he went through a lot to bring the work of redemption about and to bring it to pass in our world and in our life today. He gave up his only begotten Son. And if God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God gave us everything he had because he loved us. He wanted to save us. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God has made provision whereby we can be saved. And we know who are saved today. We know what a wonderful thing it is to be saved and how much Jesus has meant to us and how much he does in our life every day. We cannot control the outside forces. We cannot control what goes on. We cannot control, perhaps we have a vote, but as far as who's in the White House, who's in this and who's doing that, other than having our voice and our vote, we cannot do anything about the things that are going on. And the silent majority are those who are righteous, those who are silent as far as we're not blowing horns in the streets, but we're blowing harps and trumpets in heaven, and we're praying, and our prayers, nobody hears us pray, but God in heaven hears us on his throne. God's word speaks to our society, and he has a message to our society. People are even saying, why does not God speak? Why doesn't he say something? Well, he's already given us 66 books by which to live. He's already told us what he wants us to do. He's already given his life and shed his blood for us. What more can he do than what he's done already? And he's made a way whereby we could be saved and have eternal life. All we have to do is do what the Apostle Paul and Silas told the jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And when you're saved, the wind is like the Spirit. It blows where it wants to. And that's the way it is when you're born of the Spirit. He leads you and guides you along. You may not be able to get out of your house, but your prayers can go into the third heaven and reach where God is, and you'll make a great difference in the kingdom of God. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity to present this word to your people. The Bible does speak to society, and I pray that you'd speak to us, and speak to the nations of the world through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session entitled The Bible Speaks to Society. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You know him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.